Blog Talk Radio.
How can they live without Jesus? How can they live without God's love? How can they feel so at home down here when there's so much more up above? Throwing away the things that matter, they hold on to things that don't. The world has gone crazy, but soon maybe a lot more are gonna know. But maybe they don't understand it, maybe they just haven't heard. Maybe we're not doing all we can, living up to His holy word. 'Cause bullies have come and wrong's been done, even killing in Jesus' name. And if you've been burned, here's what I've learned: the Lord's not the one to blame. But He's just not religion with people's answers, or a
God, we're grateful, because if it had not been for You, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because You gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because You gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because You blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into Your presence, because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before You today, have Your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified, that You might be glorified, that Your people might be edified, in the name of Jesus. For God, in You is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that You will touch every person that have come seeking You, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let Your anointing that resonates in this place even now, God, let there be an outpouring on Your people. We need You, God, to take us to another level in You, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord. And we need to be fortified with Your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer. And Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. This morning, the first thing we heard, a wonderful song, How Can They Do It Without You? And I just found some information out about that. The name of the artist was The Ministry Year. And Brother Lewis, it was doing that Jesus Freak music back in the day. Called us Freak, Jesus Superstar, all that kind of thing. Oh, okay, Brother Lewis. And Brother Lewis said that Satan used the CIA to murder this guy. His name was Keith Green. And I told him, I said, oh, wow, I did not know. And he said he just turned by himself last week. But you know that devil come to kill, steal, and destroy anything that's halfway decent, anything. If it's just a little tad bit of good, he want to get rid of it because he's evil to the core. But we thank God this morning that he's on our side and holy. And holy is the way. It's the good way. And I thank God for the good way today. Thank God that we know about him and he's able to see us through. I want to say this morning. we reap what we sow. We will reap what we sow. If we sow it to the flesh, we're going to reap it to the flesh. If we sow it to the spirit, we're going to reap it to the spirit. I've never seen so many people that are in trouble. And these people have nobody to help them. And it's just sad. It is just a sad thing. And because I figured this, even if you've done something and you go to prison for it, and you have no family members, nobody send you nothing or nothing, you should be able to find somebody. I believe it just depends on what you keep doing or what you've done throughout your lifetime. Thank you, Brother Lewis. I look at this thing because I work with all kinds of people, and especially they call them inmates because they're locked up in prison. And a lot of times, I don't know about it, family don't deal with me no more. I didn't do anything against family no more than commit a crime, got caught, and got sentenced for the crime I commit. But I, come to do my time. I come to pay for the crime that I've committed. So a lot of family members, they embarrassed over that for their own families. And they separate themselves from the in the family that went to prison. But they have to look at these things, and I have some that looked at it. I have some that this time of year say that, hey, Barbara, pray for me. I'm going through. Sometimes they already out of prison. They done served 20 years. They done served 15 years for murder. They out. Pray for me because I killed these people's daughter. I killed these people's son. I can celebrate Thanksgiving or Christmas. The person I killed can't. And a family feels the effects of that. Had I not killed that person, they would still be here, good or bad, to celebrate with their family. Now, this is a person who has realized what they've done. They're truly sorry about it. But although they're sorry, it can't bring the person back. But it's just good to see these person have pondered, had time to ponder in their heart what they did wrong, and they no longer want to do that. And they're so sorry, and they're so sorry for the family that they took from. So many times you get to see you're going to reap what you sow. A lot of children don't understand how they treat their parents. You're going to reap what you sow. Many times the older we get, the more we learn to do right and to do better. Now, you got some older people, they're never going to learn this. It's who they are. They choose to remain messy, choose to remain just not for the good. They talk good out of their mouth, but their actions show what they're doing is not good. But as you get older, you should learn to do better and want better. And you want better for your children. But because of what you've sown, your children will cause you to reap what you sowed. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Men have done women bad. Women have done men bad. They reap what they've sown. You may not get to see it. You may not get to see it all the time. But it's coming up again. Whatever we do in this life, you're going to pay for it. One way or another. And back in the day, I used to feel like it took a long time. But in 2021, it appears that you do it on Monday, you're paying for it by Wednesday. You sold it on Monday, but you're reaping it Wednesday. So we're going to reap what we sow. I can't help how you've been in the Bible, how long you love God, none of that. If you reap it to the flesh, you sowed it to the flesh, you're going to reap it. If you sold it to the spirit, to the spirit. Yeah. So we're praying for people that they can endure through these things that they have to pay for, that they did to themselves. Yeah. Sometimes people get so angry so quick, they don't even think, they just react. And after the reaction, somebody's dead or somebody's hurt really bad, you know, or they've taken the wrong thing, you know, and they end up paying for this stuff later on. And many times in the midst of this, they change. In the midst of all of this, they change. Some people take a week, some people take 10 years, but they change. This is why I don't believe in putting people on death row and making them sit. That's a form of torture in my opinion. I believe if you put them on death row, you should go and do what you're going to do. Because in the midst of you allowing them to set, they change. They're no longer that person that you gave the life sentence to or the death sentence to. Yeah. See, I know in between that time, God can change the hearts and minds, and he can even extend their lives. He can have them to go back to court, and they say, well, no, we won't kill you. What we'll do is we'll give you life in prison. Because what I'm looking at today is much more money and you having life in prison than killing you. Because if I kill you, I can't make no money off you. But if I let you live in here, you're being paid for. So we pray. Because it's just sad to see so much going on. Every day somebody has committed a horrific crime. I read an article this morning where a man in Alabama, they worked at a metal plant. I worked at a steel plant. But around midnight, two co-workers, they knew each other off the job. One killed the other on the job. So one dead, the other one was arrested. Why? What makes people kill people? I mean, we get in a heated argument. I don't have a gun on you. You don't have a gun on me. And we get in a heated argument. Why is it so heated until you feel you need to get a gun and come back and kill me over an argument? Now, I could see that slap you, stab you, killed your mama, did something to your children physically. And they just made you pass angry. But a disagreement, I want to kill you over a disagreement, that is crazy. And I've seen where people have disagreements or argument and other people are around. And the other people are egging this person on to hurt the other person, shoot him. I'm like, wow, look at this. And many times the person will react to the crowd because they're feeling prideful. And I'm not going to let them get away with me and all these people looking. But you, all of them that's egging you on, they're not going to be in the prison cell with you. You're going to be there alone. So again, we're praying. Praying for road rage. We're praying for everybody. My niece was sharing stuff with me last night. She worked at the jail. And she said they're targeting females. Somebody told her it was gang related in Jacksonville. And she was telling me, I'm going to keep my hips in the house. I said, well, I already keep mine in here. If God send me out, I have to go do some foot doctor appointment, this, that, and the other, like with the turkey. Just want to deliver them or let the people pick them up from one spot and go on because there's so much today. But no matter what we do, I want you to know this morning, we're going to reap what we sow. We're not getting away with anything. We can get angry and know it's wrong and still do it because we're angry. But you're not always going to be that angry. And when you calm down, you're going to reap what you Many times we suffer because of what we've done, and we've done it to ourselves. We did it to us. Many times because we got angry. Many times because this my child. Many times, well, this my man. That's my woman. Whatever the case may be, that's my man. Yeah, I've been to prison. Was locked up with a woman who said she killed a man for her friend. Killed her husband because he was trying to fight his wife. Well, the wife was in the wrong place. Let's say she was at the gambling house and getting drunk. And he come to get her to take her home. And she didn't want to go. So him and her was having words, and her friend pulled a gun and shot him. Killed him. But she had to reap what she sowed. They locked her up for 20 years for that murder. Yeah. And it wasn't her first time, as they say at the rodeo, it wasn't her first time being locked up, you see, for violent crime. So they went on and gave her 20 so she could think about it. She got 20 years to think about it even before she was eligible for a parole. Uh-huh. We just got to know today we reap what we sow. We got to be careful and think about things before we do it. Stop saying, I don't care, because you will care. Oh, there's a time coming when you will care. You could be as stubborn as a mule, tough as a horse. But there are some things will break you down. There are some things will touch you and have you weeping. And even in the midst of your weeping, there's nothing you can do. So today, we want to give God our hearts and minds for real. We want to give ourselves to God because he wants us. And he wants all of us today. You don't want it sometimes. You want it all the time. He wants all of us all the time, starting today. Hallelujah. Because we'll reap what we sow. And if we're not careful and we're not walking in him, we can do some horrific things that will cause us to reap what we don't want to reap. And again, we can be as tough as we want to be, as stubborn as we want to be. Again, there are some things that will touch us and break us down. Yeah. I've seen them go before the judge and fall out on the floor screaming and yelling. They had to carry the mother out the courtroom because she's screaming and yelling because the judge didn't give someone 50 years for a horrific crime. And family members feel he shouldn't have gave them that much because he loved the family member, but did you look at what they did? Yeah. So, and I don't really measure people by what you do. Wrong is wrong and right is right. For me, there's no measure of wrong. If you stole a 5-cent bubblegum, it's just as wrong as murder. Sin is sin. There's no big sin. There's no little sin. There's no big wrong, and there's no small wrong. Wrong is wrong. I mean, we try to justify it and put it in the categories and stuff like that. And which would help some people. But we're going to reap, we got to remember this, what we sow. Whatever you do, good or bad, it's coming back. And I'm hoping, praying for my good to show up. Because that's my desire, is to do good and not bad, especially towards people. Hallelujah. Listen, Galatians 6 and 8, for he soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want to read that one more time. Galatians chapter 6 verse 8 says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap last. You see? If we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap spiritual things. If you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap fleshly things. And we already determined that deceit is in your flesh. Yeah, your flesh is not after good things. It's after whatever. And many times the devil work with your flesh so that you can do bad, so that you can do wrong, so that you can end up in a place where you really don't want to be. Yeah. In chapter 9 and verse 6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Galatians 6 and 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. But whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever it is, whatever you sow, spiritual or natural, you will reap it. So we want to be careful today that we watch as well as pray. We don't let our flesh dictate us. In other words, tell us what to do, not your flesh. You want to let the Spirit of God tell you what to do. You want to calm down. I've been angry, and I said, no, I'm not going to spank my child while I'm angry because I might do too much. So I wait till I calm down and I decide a punishment because I've had time to think about it. Is this punishment really worth a spanking, or should I put them on a punishment where they don't go out the house for a day? They do dishes for a week. What does this punishment warrant? That's because you had time to think. You had time to calm down. But if we get angry and we react to that anger, most times it's not going to bring a pleasant result. Yeah. It's going to bring a bad reaping because we sowed something bad. And I look back, you know, many days and before I come to the Lord, I was there. I yet had to reap what I sowed, but I sowed some bad things. Because when I would get angry, right where I got angry, that's where I would react. No calm down, no waiting. I can remember I was so angry one day. And a friend of mine, he told me, said, hold up, don't move, just hold up. I pushed him out the way and went on to do, could have got killed. Went on to do what it was I wanted to do. He was trying to get me to calm down and think about this. Is it worth all of this? You angry, you could have a heart attack. You could stroke out right here and die yourself because you're so angry. Because we thinking sometimes the nerve of them to do this to me. They don't know. They think I'm just going to let this go any times we should. It would bless us and bless other people. It would keep our blood pressure down. Keep our heart rate normal. Yeah. Because see, while you angry enough to go do something evil to somebody or something against somebody, you could stroke out. You could have a heart attack. Yeah. So I wanted to share that this morning. And thank you for those scriptures, Brother Louis. Right on time. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Because 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Yeah. So if you do a little bit, you're going to get a little bit. And he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. If you give a lot, you do a lot, you do a lot back. If it's good, you get a lot of good back. If it's evil, you're going to get a lot of evil back. Yeah. I look at the younger generation today. And in many cases, not all cases now, because some children love their parents. Some children appreciate their parents, and they do good by their parents. But some does not. And I look back many days and I say, you reaping what you sow. You had a good dad. You didn't do your dad right. So now you reaping that through your children. No need to cry. No need to complain. You knew right from wrong too, but you did wrong. Your children now, they know right from wrong, but yet they're wrong. Yeah. So we reap what we sow. I know people who parents got older, much older, almost in their 80s. And the children are the grandchildren. They had nothing for them because they was older. They couldn't bake cakes no more. They couldn't bake pies no more. They couldn't make no more meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and gravy for them, you see. Put a little green bean of corn on the side, but they couldn't do that no more. They wasn't in a position to buy no more the latest things that came out during Christmas holidays. So they didn't have no more for the parents or the grandparents. So when these people become not healthy enough to really take care of themselves, they left the people alone. Sometime they would give them a meal if they could get a, you know, stop by on the way home from work and get a takeout meal, you know, a fast food meal. Knowing the grandparents, the parents, they could no longer eat that kind of stuff. They needed a healthier diet. But because it would have taken a little time to make a healthier meal, do it. Sometimes they wouldn't feed them because the parent or grandparent, it was time for their medication, but they couldn't get medication because they had to take it with food. I'm telling you what I saw. And the parent or grandparent eventually died. And they didn't die because they weren't getting the proper diet or they didn't have enough food. They died of heartbreak. Because all of these years I've given to you, I only wanted the best for you. Many holidays, I didn't pay my bills to be able to give you a good holiday. And now that I can't really do it myself, you walk away. You don't care about me. You could care less. You don't come and visit me, put me in the nursing home and walk away. I had a lady, she lived in Hilltop, had been there for years. And she just stayed with me. She was much older than me. And one day I was talking to the mailman, and she, I remember her, was sitting on her porch. And she heard me tell the mailman, I said, listen, let me tell you something. He said, yeah. I said, I own checks in my mailbox. Please don't put no more bills in my mailbox. If it's not a check, keep it. He said, oh, okay. So as I was getting ready to, you know, to walk towards her and her friend, she said, well, what kind of bills are those you don't want no more? I said, I don't want no electric, no. I don't want nothing like that. She said, well, I just want to tell you this. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, if you don't get that electric bill, you're going to be a dog. And we all laughed. And so after that, you know, I would be going to the mailbox and she would speak and we would talk sometime. And one day she didn't want me to leave. She wanted to talk to me and I sat with her. And she said that she used to work and she told me of her working days. And how she used to work, and she had to walk sometimes. Sometimes she had to get up a few hours much earlier so that she could be to work on time. And she told me about her brother, and he had some issues, and she took her brother in. And the family accused her of taking her brother in to get money off her brother. And she said none of that was true, and it hurt her for many years, but she endured it and went on. Well, she had a special son, and she told me one day, she said, this boy eat more bread than the bread house can stock. She said, I buy a giant loaf of bread and bring it in here on Monday. She said, and we got bread again, that's too much bread. I said, well, he's a young man. I said, and they eat. Said, yeah, they eat, and I want them to eat, but I'm about to run out of food. I said, well, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll take on your bread, sure. She said, okay, what you going to do? I said, well, I'll go to the bread house and, you know, bring you between 6 and 8 loaves of bread. She said, yeah, and I have a deep freezer. I'll freeze them. She was so happy about that. So I used to go once a week and get a bread sometimes once every 2 weeks, and because I ride by there. I said, hey, we need bread. She said, no, I'm good right now. I might need it next week, though. I said, okay. And she would, you know, ask one of them cupcakes, and I got your money when you come. I said, all right. One day I went, and she was sitting on the steps. She lived downstairs, and she had a neighbor upstairs. And she was sitting on the neighbor's steps. And I went to the mailbox, and when I was coming back, she said, hey. I said, hey. She said, can I please just have a hug today? I said, yes, you can. I'll never forget this, y'all. I gave this lady a hug. And I went on. I thought it was strange, but I went on. She never asked me for a hug or nothing like that. I never saw her so sad. Because when we saw each other, we both was upbeat. I would make her laugh. She would make me laugh. And then one day, a daughter come. And a daughter wanted bread. I said, no, ma'am, I just don't buy bread for people. I bought it for your mother. She had a special situation and she needed help. But I don't just buy bread for people. She said, well, the reason I asked it, could I get the bread? Because my brother is putting my mom in the nursing home. I said, excuse me? She said, yeah, he put me in the nursing home. And the way she said it, there was no sadness about it, no remorse about it. It's where her mother should have gone. I'm like, wow, who does this with living children and nothing is wrong with the children? They don't work. They're living off the government. And you can't take care of your parent? What is going on? But I had to take into consideration some things. Are she reaping what she has sown? I remember my boss telling me, he said, elderly black people, he said, you bow down to them people. I said, yeah, they're older. I was taught respect. We give respect to older people. He said, but you don't know what they was in their younger life. I said, it does not matter. They are older now. He said, some of them are evil and mean. I said, that could be the case. But I was taught to respect my elders, and that's what I do. He was like, well, one day you're going to get to find out. But it did not stop from respecting the elders. I knew elderly people that were alcoholics. I showed respect. Why? I was taught to respect your elders. And at times people have said things, older people. I did not like it. Do you hear me? I did not like it. Sometimes the enemy would tell me, cuss them out. Slap that one. No, no, no. I went on. Said nothing. Thought nothing else about it. Let it go. Went on. Why? They were my elders. They were older than me. Because I thought, too, one day you get old, you might be like that. And you wouldn't want nobody to cuss you out in your older years or slap you. And you don't never know what's going on with these people. You don't know if they've got bad news, this their way of acting. Now you just go on. And I thank God for that because I don't have to reap for mistreating a person. And that is a good thing to not to have to reap because you sowed wrong seed. We don't want to plant wrong seeds in our life. We want to plant good. And this way we'll reap. Yeah. Some people complain about giving. Well, I give to them, they never give back. Well, look, give it anyway and give it to your heart and let it go because of this. You gave them a glass of water, but you got sick and you needed a ride to the doctor. Because you gave a glass of water, somebody come along and ride to the doctor and be happy to do it for you. And it's not just our older years we reap what we sow. is coming back a lot quicker. You can be 14, 12, 10, and you're going to reap what you sow. And it's coming quicker, faster. So we want to be careful today that we don't have to go through reaping what we've sown. Yeah. It's Testify Friday this morning, and we want to testify today to the goodness of the Lord. We want to talk about his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people. We want to tell of his goodness. I look from Monday to Friday. God bring us to the beginning of a week, and he bless us to get to the beginning of the week. He bless us all the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Monday comes, he's yet blessing us. We come all the way up from Monday to Friday again, and God is yet blessing us. And we should be able, within a week, to tell of his goodness. Within that week, he has done something to bless us. Even if it's no more than waking up, closing our right mind, we should say something about what God has done in our lives. Because he's done so much. Things could be so much worse. Yeah. Oh, it could be bad. Someone that you love could die. And you yourself could come down with a heart attack. They're dead. You're in the hospital. Your life is being threatened by the heart attack. Your kidney shut down. All kind of things could happen to you and your loved ones in the run of a week. You can lose everything you got in the run of a day, in the run of a few hours, sometimes some minutes. Your house could burn. Your house could blow up. The car you're driving could blow up. You could have an accident. You could be riding in the car with somebody, not driving, and have a severe accident, become handicapped, or die through the course of it. But God brings us to the closing of another week. And we should say something on his behalf. We shouldn't sit back and let everybody else talk about the goodness of the mouth. But listen to Sister Jerry talking to me one day about Brother Anthony. She said, Barbara, she said one thing about that Brother Anthony. He is going to testify of God. Well, I don't care how many times he called in, he going to let you know and everybody know I'm giving honor to God first. I thank him. And then after he finished testifying of the goodness of God, then he'll go on and tell you whatever it is. He'll go on and call those names for the phone caller. He might tell of another testimony. And God is looking for these kind who will talk of his wondrous works and make known these among the people. Because we're not supposed to be ashamed of the gospel. It had the power to save us. The gospel has had the power. It had the power to save us. We shouldn't be ashamed of Jesus. He's not going to save us. He saved us from ourselves. He saved us from our sins. He brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light. So we shouldn't be ashamed. We should be happy. We should be excited to talk about him in some way or another. Well, I thank God that I'm here to another Friday. Close in my right mind. I thank him for the use and activities of my limb. The doctor have diagnosed some things, but nonetheless, I'm trusting God, and he's yet bringing me through. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so we should talk. Everywhere that a door will come open to us, everywhere that we can share this good news, we should tell it. The doctor's office, the dentist's office, the grocery store, the shopping mall, wherever we go and an opportunity present itself, we should talk of his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people because somebody needs him. I got a letter that a young man said he knew God before he went to prison. He knew of him. But his situation got so bad in prison, because family members that he was dependent on, like a mother, father, he don't know if they're living or dead, because they got so old they could no longer do for themselves, and they don't know how to J-pay, handshake it, they no longer can ride. They don't drive anymore, don't see very well, so no way they can make it up to a prison to see him. He says, so because of his situation, it brought him to his knees. It brought him to come to God. Hallelujah. And I told him, I thank God for it, because we all have been in that same place where we didn't know him. But he opened the door and blessed us that we could get to know him. And we all need to know him. So I understand, you know. Because I know people down, I try to encourage, especially those that are locked up. Now, I have to tell them the truth for many days, you know, and some of them, because they men and a woman, they don't like it. But many said, I couldn't get over what you said. I played it over and over, and you were so right. I was angry with you about that, because what you said, but it was the truth. And you told me from the beginning, you would always tell me the truth. Whether it hurt me or you, you was going to have to tell me the truth. And I tried to encourage them while they locked up to get a trade on, because prisons offer trades many times. Bricklaying, carpentry, so that when you come back, you can do something that's lawful. It's not against the law. It's lawful to work an honest day's work for honest day's pay. And if you got a little skill to you, you can make a little bit more. And that should help you more, that you don't have to go back to be locked up by man, but you can stay free. Now, too, you done found God. So he know you and you know him. And once you're released, you striving to learn more about him. You have not turned him loose. You won't go back. You refuse. Because he has blessed you over and over. Yeah, I told him, I said, well, you know, now that you are getting to know even more about him, you're going to find out he's a miracle worker. you're going to get to find out that he so loved you, because he so loved the world and you in the world. You're part of, you know. You're going to get to find out every word he says is true. He'll never lie to you. You belong to him. He won't leave you nor forsake you. He's going to be with you until the end, but you must believe this. Yeah. Because we seek him. We constantly seek him. And he's a rewarder unto them that diligently, constantly, continually seek him, seeking him. Is this when we have problems? And many times we turn seeking God or loose to fulfill our flesh, to please our flesh. But again, the flesh is deceitful, but no good thing is in it. What we should do is seek God. Not what the flesh is talking about. Because see, the flesh is saying, well, if you do this, that gonna happen. Well, if you do that, this. No. Lord, I'm going through this thing, and this thing has hurt me. It has burdened me down. Just wrestle me to the ground. I can't fix it. I can't change it. I want this. I want that. But Lord, I can't get it. But Lord, bless me. Teach me. Show me the right way. Show me what I should do. And give me the spirit to do it. Give me a heart and a mind to do what I should do, not what I want to do. Not according to my flesh, but according to what's right. In the name of Jesus, God will come in and do it. Yeah, yes, he will. And I'm thankful. Listen, we're going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, we're coming back talking about Testify Friday. And if anybody have a testimony they want to share, press that number one. I'll see your light on in the studio. And I'll bring you right in this morning to testify. It's Testify Friday, and we're testifying to the goodness of Almighty God, the one who made the heavens and the earth, the one who woke us up this morning, clothes in our right minds. We have use and activities of limbs. Hallelujah. Because of him, we can move around. Yeah. Because of him today, I can walk. I can go from one spot to another. I can think of what, if I'm hungry or if I'm not. I can think of what I might want to eat for breakfast because of him, not because of me. And I know many may have heard the songwriter say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone. And the songwriter reassures themselves in saying this, because I know he holds my future and my life is worth the living just because he lives. Why? My life is hid in him now. I'm no longer on my own. Yeah, so we should be willing to give him something back. He gave us a wake up this morning. He gave us a clothes in our right mind. Many of us, he gave us food on the table. Hallelujah. Clothes on our backs. A roof over our head. A car to drive. And some of us have some fancy cars to drive. Yeah, like we did it ourselves. He did it for us. But if it had not been for the Lord on my side, hallelujah, hallelujah, a lot of us would be suffering much more. Thank you, Jesus. We're grateful unto him this morning. So look, we want to go to this one this morning and wake up a little bit.
Hello? Am I on? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh yeah, I'm a music major.
Tears rolling down your face, with your heart feeling like it's gonna break. When your urn feels like it's about to shake, when you've taken all that you can take. Just remember where your help comes from. Realize it's not somewhere to run. Don't worry about what you're going through. Instead of worrying, here's what you can do. Praise him anyway.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Mr. Isaac Kari, this morning and in the middle of it. Yeah, no matter what we're going through, we should give God the praise, because when we praise him, he can bring us out of these situations much faster. Hallelujah. Because our trials come to but make us strong, and we're going to be all right. And I tell you, we want all the blessings and miracles of God, but we don't want to go through nothing. Yeah, we don't want to take time for God to do nothing. We just want it to be all about us, what we feel, what we think, what we want, what we think we need, all of these things. But we got to give God what he needs. And he needs thanksgiving. He needs testimonies. Hallelujah. He needs us to help somebody else. And so we're grateful unto him this morning. All right, Sister Jerry, I see you. I see you. Good morning. God bless you. How are you this morning?
Oh, good morning, Sister Barbara. I'm doing well. But I just want to thank God. I got to get little Calvin to the doctor today by 1 o'clock. You know, he's asthmatic, and this kind of weather is not helping him at all. He's wheezing his little brains out, but it's going to be all right no matter what it looked like. Mm-hmm. It looked like every time I look around, it's hot one minute, it's cold, but he's a little wheezer.
Okay.
Calvin has asthma so bad, so he has to get a shot for it, but
okay.
It's going to be all right. And
yeah.
I thank God for him. I used to say, God, you didn't give me one child with special needs. You gave me two children with special needs and one child with double needs. Asthmatic and issues, but it's okay, because I trust God. It was my sinful ways, Barbara, that brought me to the Lord.
Okay.
Can you believe I was praying to God for sin, because I was ignorant. I was asking God to help me stay in adultery. Who does that, idiots? Sometimes we're so smart and we don't know. I was just sitting here listening. Our temper sometimes will send us into craziness. I thought about what you said yesterday, Gary. You also got to forgive people. I'm sure my father's dead and gone, but I've been holding this grudge for over 60 years. You can't walk around doing that and say you love the Lord. So I turn all of it over to the Lord, because like you just said, you reap what you sow. You could be sowing all your goods and doing all this good over here and still not making it into the kingdom. I don't want to do that. So my problem is letting go and letting God handle the situation. God knew your father was going to do what he did, so he allowed it. Nothing could have stopped what God was going to allow. God knew you was going to take those children in, even though your brothers said to you, Jerry, that was you. God didn't tell you to take them children in. You taking them in, and you trying to be your superwoman. That's what you get. No, that ain't what I get. But then maybe that is what I get. You reap what you sow. I sow goodness in my children. Yes, I didn't sow sickness into Calvin. I did not sow asthmatic into Calvin. I didn't sow pneumonia into Calvin. But what I did sow is that Calvin got a great doctor. When I get Calvin in there at 1 o'clock today, Dr. White going to take very good care of Calvin. And I'm declaring and decreeing Calvin won't have to go to the hospital because that's a place Calvin will have to be without me, and that's not what God's going to do. But Calvin is resting this morning because he was up all night wheezing his little self. It sounds like corona, but his bronchitudes are like clotted. But he's going to be okay because I serve a merciful and a good God.
Man.
So that is not what I sold. I called my brothers and I said, hey, look, Calvin is really sick. Why are you calling us with that? We're trying to get together on certain things, and I'm trying to figure out. See, look at me. I had that corona shot. We've never had a cold in, I don't know, 12 years. Look at me. My bronchitude is closing up. But it's okay. God needs these things, and we're going to be okay. Yeah. We are going to be okay. Why are you calling us for that? We're trying to figure out what big tree we're going to get. Did you know those trees are not on sale this year? Trees. The trees are free. But I didn't say nothing. I said, oh, that sounds good. But I wanted to let you know about Calvin. Well, Jerry, you got Calvin. No, I don't have Calvin. God has Calvin. But, Lord, today I thank you that you do have Calvin. I thank you that you allow someone like me to be in the family so Calvin has someone like me, like you, God, that says, I give you grace and mercy. Come on unto me, Jerry. I got Calvin for you. Don't worry. Because if you're going to worry, don't pray to me about Calvin. He's having a little difficult breathing, but I got him. Rainy weather and cold weather. And Calvin hasn't had an asthma attack, and I don't know when. But it's going to be okay. Baby boy going to be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be just fine. This is the first morning he didn't get up clapping and slapping for the Jesus in the morning. But whatsoever you sow, what you, I know this. Because, see, I was trying to ask God for this man over here. He married, you married, and you asking God for that woman's husband. God ain't going to do that, idiot. But that's how I found God. What the devil was trying to lead me into destruction, look how I found God. God even showed me what marriage really looked like. And it doesn't look like taking somebody else's husband. No, that is not marriage. I can truly say the husband God gave me 43 years ago was the husband I supposed to have had. God will not give you someone else's husband. People don't buy into the hype. Don't buy into the craziness. God gives you only the best. He gives you someone like Louis and Sherry. He gives you someone like Anthony that knows how to praise God. He gives you someone like Brother Frank says, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. He gives you someone like maybe Brother Jermaine that researches. And if you research enough, you'll find God. He gives you someone like Sister Barbara that tries to tell you the scripture when you're going down Hooker Lane. But she's not going to force it on you because she says in herself, she'll be back. He gives you someone like Martha and Mary, where John is in Martha's stomach and he leaped when Jesus was present. Oh, Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you that you're going to give Calvin and I everything we need. For surely, Calvin at 1 o'clock is going to be okay. When we leave Dr. Jim's office, because not everybody can treat Calvin. He don't let everybody come too close to him. Oh, but he let Sister Barbara come close to him. And I was shocked. Because not too many people can come near Calvin. He runs. He hides. But he likes Sister Barbara. I said, Calvin, you want to go with Sister Barbara? Yes. I asked him last night, Calvin, you want to go? No. Like, leave me alone, please. I'm sick, Mama. I said, Calvin, you're like, yes. He can barely breathe, so don't try to make the child talk. That's just for my making me feel good. Leave him alone. He doesn't feel good. So he's going in to see Dr. Wright, going to get a breather treatment, probably an asthmatic shot, but he's going to be okay. I won't sit up and cry all night because if I trust God, Calvin's going to be just fine. And with the praying group I have in my circle, I have Apostle Boatwright. I have Evangelist Barbara. I have Brother Anthony. He's going to praise God in the middle of driving that truck down that highway. I have Brother Frank. They don't know me, but they know God. So God's going to put the right people, and Kevin and Jerry are going to be just fine. So I just want to say thank you, God. When I was trying to go left, you still turned me around, and I'm on the right lane now. You're directing my path. I'm not going into my own eyes, because my eyes might be brown, but you know what brown is. That's still a mess. But God is leading me and guiding me in the direction I should go, and I can't turn around. I won't look back. I got the press down shaking together and let my blessings run over. So good morning, Brother Louis. Thank you for knowing the scripture as well as you do. Good morning, Brother Anthony, Brother Frank, Sister Sion. Oh, good morning, Sister Dot. For your prayers are so great out there on the Facebook and the little butterflies that you take time out. And Sister Dot, thank you for being there. For those of us that don't know God and need learning. But we serve a great Savior. So if I'm a sow, I got to sow into Jesus so I can reap the harvest of mercy and grace. For Lord, I have done so much, but I won't continue to look at what I've done. I look at where God is going to take me. He's going to take me to the pressed down, shaking together, blessings running over. He's going to do the same for Kevin. Because Calvin said, I'm not going to run up the tree behind the cat. I'm going to wait for God to send me my wife. So at least Calvin, he may be special needs, but he knows God. And I'm going to be honest with you, stupid people like this one over here, Jerry, hands up, asking God for that lady's husband. And you got a husband. That's like fixing your plate and fixing you another plate and another plate. You're overeating, gluttonous. You're nothing now angry at a man that's probably dead. You cannot do anything but about what God allowed. He probably allowed it because your mother needed saving from her own self, Jerry. Your mother was a drug addict and an alcoholic. She was constantly having babies. I don't know, in the 50s and the 60s, heroin was a monster. And your mother was on drugs to that point. Now in the 2000s, it's crack. And my poor brother, he's strung out there, so I'm going to ask God to have mercy on my brother. Lord, please give him strength. Take that bitter cup from him. Miss Smith, I know what the bitter cup is now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for putting the right people in my path. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen.
Amen, Sister Jerry.
I get emotional when it's about my baby. I get emotional when it's about Calvin. I just do so. I got to ask God to give me strength.
Yeah, it's going to be all right, Jerry. He'll be all right. Yeah, God got him under control. God got Calvin under control. Just got to trust God. And I know you don't want to see him suffering or going through, but God is in the blessing business. He's in the healing business. And he knows the best for us today. And we thank him. We thank him. If someone else have a testimony, please feel free to press that number one and come in. Don't have to wait until 9 o'clock this morning. You can testify right now. Hallelujah. God is faithful. I was looking at John, the book of John, and looking over even in chapter 1. And when it got down to chapter 1, the 6th verse and the 7th verse, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, the same witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So even John testified of Jesus. Yeah, when he was even saying, there's one who's coming after me, who's preferred before me, he was yet given a testimony unto his first cousin, the Son of God. That was Elizabeth and Mary together, and the baby John. Well, Elizabeth was John's mother, and when Mary and Elizabeth got together, the baby leaped in both their wombs. Because, see, John was born, the scripture says, with the Holy Ghost. He didn't wait.
Thank you.
Yeah, he was born with it. So it was Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Mama.
I thought it was Martha and Mary. See, I'm still learning. Thank you.
That's okay. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to learn, Sister Jerry. You're never too old to learn. We are never too old to learn. And that is a good thing. Yeah. At least you knew it. At least you knew that that baby leaped in the belly of his mother. Hallelujah. And it's all right today. Jesus, now you good, David, you good. I am.
Yeah, I don't want to misquote the Bible, but I'm learning.
Yes, and the Lord know you didn't do it on purpose. You didn't just add to it or take away from it on purpose.
Right, right. I don't want to do that. I'm so emotional today. You know, I'm a very emotional person. I laugh emotionally. I cry emotional. I'm just very emotional.
Well, it's all right today, David, in Jesus' name. It is all right today. Yeah. And God's going to take care of you.
And Barbara,
yeah,
thank you so much for being my friend. I mean, you just don't understand how much I appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you too, Jerry Crowd. Geraldine. I appreciate you too. And it's okay today. It's okay. And we're going to go through some things in this life. Every day is not going to be Sunday. Every day is not going to be a Sabbath where we can praise God and come home feeling like $100 or $1 million. Every day is not going to be that day. But we know that we know that God is who he say he is. He's our Redeemer. He loves us. He won't leave us, not forsake us. He's going with us to the end. All things going to work together for our good. We love him. He called us. And it's all right, yeah. And we, in this life, you're going to make some mistakes. I said plenty of names that wasn't, I was thinking of the right name, but I said the wrong name. So it's just no problem. Yeah, and like you. You said you called Calvin. Al, call Al Calvin. I'm guilty of it, too. I was talking to a young lady the other day on the phone, and I said, hold on, you're moving a little fast. I said, I got to write that down. I said, 64, I got to write that down. And so me and her, we had some good laughs off of it. She said, well, Miss Barbara? I said, yeah. She said, well, I'm not near 64 just yet. She said, I am 40, and Miss Barbara, I have to write it down. So we just had some good laughs. Yeah. And it's all right today. Nothing to be embarrassed over, nothing like that. We are who we are. Nothing is edited over here. We don't prep nothing and, you know, to bring it however God moves.
Exactly. Yeah, I had done my research. I just remember my mother used to tell me about the baby leaping in the belly. She talked to me a little bit, but I wasn't into the Bible like I am now. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
What
it's
time
all right.
I wasted, but God for mercy and grace. Woo!
Listen, well, let me get this to you, Jerry. You can forget them things that are behind you now. We pressing forward. We pressing towards. Yeah.
The high calling.
Okay. The mark for the prize of the high calling now. We're not looking backwards, because those are testimonies of how God delivered us, how God brought us out. We're no longer back there. We can't undo back there, but we can, like you did, we can tell God thank you for back there. But he brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light. And there will be days like that. Sometimes stuff that you did, and it'll pain. It's like a sharp pain to shoot through. Ooh, I did that. Yeah.
Ooh, I did that. Yeah.
But I'm no longer doing that. You see, we got to go right there because he made us new creatures. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. See, we yet testifying this morning of his goodness. He brought us from back there. Yeah. As you call it, Hooker Lane, he brought us from Hooker Lane. He brought us from the drinking. He brought us from, you know, the smoking. He just delivered us from some things. He brought us from the drug selling and the whatever it is out there that we were doing. He brought us out of that. We're no longer back there. And we're no longer those same people. Because, again, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. But we got to keep looking to the hill to remember that we are new. We got to continue to seek God. He's going to diligently, if we diligently seek him, he's going to reward us. He's going to reward us with wisdom and knowledge and understanding and many more things. Many more things.
And even though he is breathing better. He's breathing so much better, but.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yeah. So
he just wanted to get us. Mama, I'm having a hard time breathing. He can't say. He don't know what's wrong with him. He just came and stood to the door with me and almost passed out. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then I called my brother and all he could say, I told you don't bring them. I'm like, oh, really?
Well,
but,
in that
case,
see what you have to do, Jerry, when you get a little excited about something like that. If you can help it, try not to call nobody. That's unless you're calling me or somebody like me.
Right.
But what you want to do is begin to pray. And you know what else, Jerry? Go on and lay your hands on Calvin.
Yes,
and begin to pray the prayer of faith.
Yes,
the Lord, you hear my child. I'm not going to talk about what he got, what he may go through, how he's suffering. I need you to heal him this morning in the name of Jesus. It's you that took the beating for the healing of the nation. And Father, you yet have healing in the hem of your garment. You heal all manner of sickness and disease. Heal Calvin today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. That even when we get to the doctor, Father, they don't even find nothing wrong. And they say that, Jerry, we're going to try something different for Calvin. That's a lot less strenuous on him. We got to quickly remember God. Anything we're going through, we got to quickly remember him.
Yeah.
Because if not, we remember in our flesh, the enemy will come in there and make it bigger than it really is. He'll make a bigger deal out of it than it really is. Calvin should live and not die. He's not going nowhere. Nothing is happening. He's just having some weather change, some breathing problems. My daughter went through that. And going through it now.
Well, his doctor, I can call in 24 hours. He will answer. This doctor, he's a wellness doctor. His name is Jim White. He is the best. He will answer his phone for you. He's a good doctor. But he don't just anybody.
Listen to that, Jerry. Look at that. God gave you favor with the doctor. He gave you favor with the doctor. So look, if he can do that, Jerry, he can do Calvin. If he can do that, if you see something out of place or that you don't like or you think he's breathing too hard, he's fucked up with, quickly go to God. Because he gave you favor. If he can do that, he can heal Calvin. He can control the breathing. He can bring Calvin back where Calvin needs to be. But you got to trust God and you got to quickly move to him.
And God can
because
close you, brother. One minute is cold, one minute is hot, one minute is freezing. Oh, Lord.
Get the weather. All yesterday, I was a little cool. All yesterday. I wanted to turn the heat on. Nick said, she hot. He warm. She good. I said, okay, well, I won't turn nothing on. Because I want you to feel uncomfortable, you know. But guess what?
Yeah.
This morning, I woke up and it's not too warm. Down Louisville, it was 66. I'm sure down my way, it's probably around 64. Yeah, that's good weather. That's warm. I don't need no seed or nothing. But we got to remember God quickly. Remember God quickly. And you know, Jerry, sometimes you don't remember to pray a prayer. But even if you say, Lord, have mercy, that's a prayer.
When you put on that faith prayer this morning, I said, God, you're giving me what I needed. Oh, I needed that faith prayer so bad this morning.
Okay.
I can't really get down on my knees, but I got down on them this morning, and I thank God he got me up off of my knees, too.
Okay.
I remember Robert used to tell me, Jardine, if you got to get on your knees and you can't get up, don't get back down on your knees no more.
Well, yeah, he was... But even in that, Jerry, God is faithful to us. He favor us. He give us favor. And anything happen, we got to quickly remember him, not quickly jump with excitement of urgency in our flesh. Yeah, because it's not unto death what's going on. Yeah. Okay, 65 here. All right, Brother Lewis. I thought I was Jacksonville a couple of degrees back. But, yeah. Even John the Baptist, he testified of Jesus. And he said the same came up. Well, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. The light was Jesus. And John was testifying. Many times as you look through the scriptures, especially the New Testament and the Old Testament, you're going to hear people testify of Jesus, Jeremiah, Isaiah, because of who he is and what he was coming to do. He hadn't done it with Jeremiah. He hadn't done it with Isaiah just yet, but he was coming to that place. But Paul and Peter and John and Matthews and all apostles and over at the Romans church and that the offices and all these places, they got to hear of these testimonies. Some of them got to see the greatness of Jesus. Many talked about his wondrous works. That's how crowds came out.
Yeah.
They were on the mount. And they was on the mount because of what was happening. He was there. And not only was he giving fish and loaves out, fish and bread, but he was teaching them and feeding them spiritually. He was feeding them a food that would last throughout eternity, a food that would cause them to come to God in the right way and stay. They were hearing things about God that they had never heard before. And many people in your circle, if you begin to testify, they're going to hear things about God they never knew, they never heard before. They didn't know he was. Because you got people, just like Jerry said, it's what mama said, it's what grandmama said, granddaddy said, it's what Pastor said when I was a little girl going to church. But as we get older, or we can be younger, but we come to God. Jesus, we accept him as our Lord and Savior. He saves us. He sanctifies us, set us aside unto himself. He fills us with his spirit. We're baptized in the water. We live in the newness of life. So now we have a relationship that causes us to study his word, to pray for wisdom and understanding and knowledge.
Yes, God. Yes.
Testify of him. It's from our hearts, and it will move. I was waking up this morning, and I had a dinner, and I believe it could have been a Thanksgiving dinner, but I was at this dinner, and there was a podium there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing at the podium, and I began to say, oh, yeah, That's what I could hear myself saying. And I began to talk about the goodness of the Lord, and it was just tasting sweet as honey in my mouth, sweeter than, I'm going to say, in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to tell of the goodness of him, how he was Mary's baby, how he was the lily of the valley, how he was the bright and morning star, how he was our all in all, how he loved us so he died. I just went on with these things. And I could hear the people begin to weep. They begin to weep. And when I lifted my head up, there was a crowd around the podium. And they was crying and carrying on. I could see two women sitting behind the crowd. And I know them had to be sisters because of the closeness. They were sitting together. And in the spirit, you could feel the closeness. And they were relatives, blood relatives. They were sisters. And I could see the sisters rocking from side to side and shaking their head in agreement.
Yeah.
And at that podium, folk was coming to God. I didn't bring no John 5 and 4. I didn't bring John 3 and 16. I didn't bring no scriptures. I just stood up to testify of the goodness of him, and he sent folks. Because, see, he sent his word, and his word healed. Hallelujah. His word healed. And look, the word will heal like this. You'll hear it, and it'll draw you to him to learn more of him. Hey. I've been clubbing and doing a thing. I've been out there in the streets. I've been in the world. You know, I go to work and I do my own thing. But this right here you talking about, he married me. He's the bright and morning star. He's your Lord and Savior. What you talking about? And then, Jerry, I could also see myself going to Romans 10 and 9, and I'm breaking it down right at the podium to them. I had never seen this before. When I go for Thanksgiving to their tables, but I sit at the table, and the people come to the nieces and things, relatives, they come to me at the table. And you can tell they always try to impress me with something. Want to say, I've been praying. You know, another one come and lean over the table and say, hey, Bob, what you said about that scripture? That time you said this and that about that scripture. This at the Thanksgiving with my family now. And I never had a podium. I never brought the word like that. The testimony that God had brought me through. I remember at that spot, because wherever it was a familiar spot. I had brought something before. And it touched the man right there. Let me tell y'all something. God is real. But we got to make him real and keep him real to us. We got to make him real to us. Because he's real, whether we accept it or not. He's not going to stop being real. So, I had gone with Cynthia. She was a pharmacist. I had gone with her. And, she just wanted to take me somewhere everywhere. And she looking at me, you know, the kind with all the big weave and the contacts and, you know, all the latest fashion stuff. So she just looking at me every time I did, you know, and staring at me. I don't know what she was thinking, but she wanted to take me from one house to another. And then the people that she believed had God, she took me to those people to see if she could find out if I was the truth in God, right? Got over there and he, oh boy, you know, showed out. He showed completely out. But anyway, they had a revival. Well, I should say this. They had a witness. They was witnessing a man and his wife uptown in Orlando, up around Paramore, all in that area. That used to be really bad back in the day. They were on the corner preaching with the microphone, and we showed up there. And the man gave me the mic. I believe I got the mic. I'm trying to remember it good, y'all. Anyway, I was standing there, and I began to praise the Lord. And as I began to praise the Lord, I could see this man coming up the sidewalk, and he was drunk. Look, y'all. Was leaning way down, rocking and reeling, and he couldn't hardly walk. He was toe up. When he got right there to me, he fell down on his knees, and his hat hit the ground. And he began to confess to the Lord. He began to, oh boy, he just began to cry and weep and tell God all about it and ask God to save him, to come in, and he ought to forgive me for this. And right there in front of me, I'm going to tell y'all something. I had never saw that. I was amazed. I really was amazed. And when he got through, he got up on his arm, got his hat, hit his hat on the thigh of his head, where his thigh at, brushing the dirt off his hat, put his hat on his head and said, God bless you, and walked off just as sober as I was. Do y'all hear that? Just as straight as I could walk just that straight. He was no longer drunk. Mm. That was amazing to me. When we go out and we testify of the goodness of the Lord, it's not you. Let God be God. And it's all about him. And when people know that it's all about him, God will come in and let them know this is the real thing here. Because they won't be able to resist it. Able to resist God. He's come for them. Today is your day. And today, if you hear my word and not harden your heart, I'm coming in and I'm going to heal you today. I'm going to save you today. I'm growing you today. They may not know it in that term, but that's what he's doing for them, because somebody's out talking about the goodness of the Lord. They make it known his goodness among the people. That's what they're doing. And if we did this, I've done it in Walmart. I've done it in many places because it was needed there. I know I've shared with you before. I was coming out of Walmart with my groceries, and it was two ladies sitting outside the nail shop. I didn't tell one what the Lord seen. And she was jumping up and down like she was having a fit. The other one, she couldn't wait because she wanted something. Lord, give me something. And he began to speak to her as well. They told me, thank you, told the Lord, thank you. And I hid it on out the door. I'm in my little tomb, hidden on with my groceries to my car. Yeah. And went on about my business. I've had people look for me. You got to seek God. He told them before I left to seek him. Because I'm simply a vessel he could use at that time. And I'm being used by him. But it's him that's going to do all you need to have done in you. So don't need to seek me. You got to seek him. Hallelujah. Because a lot of times I'm not going to even remember what I told you. A lot of times I'm not going to remember all that he said. Yeah. So we always want to seek him first. Go to him first. And whatever he does, give a testimony unto him. Give something that others can use about God that they can draw closer to him. Because the closer we come to him, the better off we are going to be. I know you heard the song before. The closer I get to you, the more it's something. I don't forget the words. But listen, the closer you get to God, the better off you're going to be. Seek him in your private time. Go in your special closet, your secret closet, and talk to him. Tell him what you want from him spiritually. Yeah. Now, Jerry, I heard you say you was praying for that other woman's husband. That was called praying missed. See, you weren't praying according to God's word or the things that God would do. You was praying against what he will do, because the word teach us the goodness of the Lord and the goodness that he will give. He's never going to give a man someone else's wife and the man already have a wife.
Exactly.
He's not going to tell you, Jerry, get a gun and go rob Wells Fargo. That's not God.
Ooh. Oh, tell me that.
Yeah, Lord, I'm going to get this gun and I'm going to rob Wells Fargo. Father, God, help me to get away with the money. That's praying amiss. Yeah, you're not praying according to God. You're praying according to your flesh and what you want in the flesh. But we need to keep this prayer spiritual. We're praying spiritually for natural things, because God can turn it around and bring spiritual out of it.
But see, Barbara, I was doing that before I knew God.
Yes,
I was on the lanes doing that craziness.
Well, no. I said that to give an example, not to say what you was doing or wasn't doing. No, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
We know that this new Jerry is a new creature in Christ. She's learning.
Hallelujah.
But she's a new creature in Christ. So
mm-hmm.
when you're young, you drinking milk. You got the bottle. But you come along with Jerry and
ooh,
hallelujah. You broke the bottle and you eating meat and peas and things, but you got to eat it slow. You can't eat a whole lot because, you know, you got to digest.
Wait a minute, Barbara. I'm not eating meat and peas. I'm eating cake and ice cream now.
Oh, my goodness. Somebody help me. Could y'all please? Well, that's just what a parable I'm going to use. Because
okay.
we need things. Yeah, we need the peas and the meat and the carrots and things for nourishment to continue to grow. And so I'm using that as a parable to say you're eating peas and meat spiritually to grow spiritually in God. Yeah, this is where we have to be. Yeah, look at Louie over there laughing. I do it. Look at it. But we got to give God. We got to give God what he needs. And he needs the attention. He needs you to give him the attention. If you want from him.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I want a new car, and I keep running to the dealership. To the dealership, and they done told me over there at the dealership, hey, you're not strong enough to pull this one off. Now, you might could get a less expensive car, but you can't get that. But I keep going back to the dealership. Now, either I got to get that less expensive car, build my credit, or I won't have a car. So we got to go to God. We can't keep going to our flesh and going to man, but we got to keep going to God. I need to send you a copy of this, and I'm going to play it in a little bit, but I need to send you a copy of this for you. God is what it's called. Because a lot of times when things feel, you feel urgent, an urgent need, you feel excited, you feel like this is an emergency, we're trying to work on it. I do something quick ourselves to make it better, which we can't. So what we do, when we get that sense of urgency and we feel like this is kind of an emergency, I need help. Who can I call? Let me call. I'm even calling people I shouldn't be calling because I feel a sense of urgency and a sense of emergency. Well, when it's like that, I need to call God. I need to call him.
Hallelujah.
Because he can do what no other can do. He can do what the doctor, that good doctor you just told me about, he can do what that doctor can't do for cancer. See, because one thing about God, he can be there day and night with Calvin. The doctor can only be there for a certain period of time.
And I met this doctor fear accident. It was an accident. I was supposed to see another doctor.
I won't
and then
say it's
God
an accident.
Doctor.
Yeah, I won't say it's an accident. That's what I would
no,
say.
No, it was God's will. It was God's
yeah,
will,
Lord,
Barbara.
Bless
this
me.
Man has brought, ooh, Jesus has brought me and Calvin a long ways.
Okay.
We used to be down in the pit, but Lord, thank you. I can't thank God enough. This is Testify Friday for me. Every day is testified. God has brought us out the pit. And we're no longer in the cave, Elijah. Come out of the cave, Jerry. We're no longer sitting there. I'm no longer afraid of Baal. Mm-mm.
Okay.
When people are serious, they don't say, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to do to you. No, 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 no. When a person's serious, like you said, they hot and ready, hot and locked. Boom, bam, they're killing you today. They don't say by this time tomorrow, because this time tomorrow, you don't calm down.
And Brother Lewis said, hey. Brother Lewis said, hey, eat your peas.
Brother Lewis. Mm-hmm. Brother Lewis, a man.
But yeah, this is what we got to do, Jeff. We got to take it to the Lord in prayer. Because, see, if not, every time something happens, you're going to put something else before God. You're going to put the doctor before God. You're going to put your feelings before God. And all of that is not helping Calvin. What helps Calvin is when you take Calvin to the Lord because God made Calvin for his pleasure. Yeah. And it's all right this morning.
Yes, it is, because I heard Calvin in there praying. As hard as he was breathing, he was still telling God, thank you.
Yes, yes. He knows his stuff. Man.
He
yeah.
was breathing
he
real hard, but he was whispering it, and he went on to sleep, but he kept telling God, thank you. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, see, he knows some things too, Barry. And you just got to get on the good foot and remember God. Every situation, remember God. You want changes? Remember God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He gets the first of everything. Yeah, and it's all pretty. Okay. I'm going to this one right here. And when we come back, we're still talking about testimony Friday. And if you have a testimony, feel free to come in and give your testimony. And it's all right this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, yeah. Ah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. We give God glory, honor, and praise because we need him. We need him. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. We're going to this one. And when we come back, we're going to play to trust God after this one. And then we come back. We'll still testify Friday. If you have a testimony this morning, feel free. Press that number one and come in. You don't have to wait till 9. We doing it right.
It was meant to kill me, sin to destroy me, and I thought that it would, and I thought that it should, cause I messed up so many times, I went left when you said right. I'll understand if you wanna let me go, let me go, let me go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go, and you wouldn't let me go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go, and you wouldn't let me go. And what the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. Yeah. It was meant to kill me, sent to destroy me, yep. And I thought that I thought that it should, cause I messed up so many times. I went left when you said right. I'll understand if you wanna let me go. Everybody for my good. Oh, what was meant to kill me, it only made me better. You've heard the words since you were in Sunday school. You have heard these professors remind you of them, both in words of warning as well as words of encouragement, and maybe even a few testimonies. A counselor, a friend, a minister of music, whatever capacity you'll serve in, on mission field or here at home, you'll use these two words. And they are, trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease, detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful. And you will be brought back over and over again to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know. You memorized them in vacation Bible school or when you were growing up at the knee of a godly mother and or father. And your lips will move as I quote them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways, trust. Trust. Now we have a problem with this because of several things. First of all, we are too blame self-sufficient. We have learned how to get ourselves out of jams rather than acknowledging the jam has very well been either directed or permitted by our sovereign God to teach us. And by not trusting him, we short-circuit the test and go our own way, getting ourselves out of our own mess. We're too self-sufficient. Another reason we fail this test is because we're too quick to call on others. We have a lot of very capable friends. As life unfolds and you leave this school and you're involved in your church, your work of ministry, your realm of responsibility, you'll meet other people. Many of them much smarter than you are. Most of them richer than you are. Better connected than you are. And some of them will become good friends. And they will become your crutch. They have connections. And when you're up against it, they'll get you through it. Another reason we don't trust is because we feel distant from the God of heaven. Don't feel too guilty about that. So did Job, as godly as he was. And yet Job said, in the midst of all of the loss, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Though he take me off this earth, in the process, I leave trusting him. I will trust him.
The fourth reason I would name is that we have cultivated the bad habit of worry. Many of you are much better at worrying than you are at trusting. If you were to put together a worry list, it would outrun your prayer list. And you're worried right now about something. Most likely, it's related to something about your schoolwork. Some course, some class, some test. Or maybe your finances. You don't have enough money. I'll give you a word of encouragement. You'll never have enough money. So you're worried now. You're getting good at it so you can carry that with you when you graduate because you won't have enough money then. So you're worried about that. And you do not trust God. See how practical it is? And if you think you're going to outgrow the problem, take it from this old guy today, you won't ever outgrow it. It's like lust. You never outgrow lust. You just learn to fake it. I remember attending a Navigator conference when Lawrence Sanney was president. We were at Glen Eyrie and they had a returned missionary, I think 87, 88-year-old gentleman, who Lauren brought up to the platform, and he's a longtime navigator, and Lauren said, tell me, Dr. So-and-so, when did you conquer lust? The old man said, well, Lauren, hasn't happened yet. You'll never conquer worry. It's part of the flesh. You want to, but the only way you will get through it so that you will learn from the test is to trust. To trust. To put the worry on hold, to set it aside, deliberately shoving it away and saying, God, at this moment, I rest in you. And you alone. If you're married, God help my spouse and me to trust you. To lean on you, to wait on you, to listen to you, to endure the test with you. I put together a quick list of things that reveal how little we trust. When you choose to worry, you do not trust. When you try to fix what is impossible, you do not trust. When you hurry ahead and don't wait for the Lord to move and to change, you do not trust. When you lie awake, twisting and turning at night, you do not trust. When you doubt biblical principles and promises that are right here in the book you love and study, you do not trust. When you turn to others first for help, you do not trust. When you listen to human counsel and give a higher priority to that, then the principles you have just learned, you do not trust. When you manipulate and maneuver situations, you do not trust. When you step in and take charge without praying and being led by the Spirit of God, you do not trust. When you cling to others in order to feel secure and needed and loved, you do not trust. The list goes on and on. See how easy it is to live in the flesh, how easy it is to disobey. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wouldn't it be a great project over the Christmas season this year to think through ways that you can begin to trust God regardless? Hopefully it'll be a project that you and a good friend or you and your mate can enter together. What is it we do that keep us from trusting God? And how can we break that habit and watch God break through in ways that we would never have expected? Cynthia and I have a longtime friend who was raised with four brothers in Southwest Texas. We were raised on a very poor ranch. They eked out a living. One of the brothers wound up getting into Baylor, going on to UCLA Law School, and earning his degree in law, and has since become a very fine attorney in the Southern California area. We've been friends since the mid-1970s. One of his four brothers stayed at the ranch and developed it, cultivated it. The other brothers moved away, as did our friend. And the one who stayed, along with his wife, really turned the ranch into something much more successful. Grew crops that worked, got cattle, bred them, sold them, little by little kind of got on their feet, and finally became pretty much financially stable. Then the fires of 2011 across Texas swept through their area, and they came to that ranch. By now they knew they would lose all the cattle. They simply opened the gate, and amazingly, those animals know where to go, usually know where to go to find shelter and safety. And they fled, hundreds of them. And they barely left, unable to get anything, much of anything in their pickup, and they drove away. Came back a number of days later when allowed to enter this territory, and everything was melted. Everything. Even the metal roof on the shed, on the barn, had melted down and sort of peeled its way over, and what it landed on, it kind of was that metal profile. As everything is lost, all possessions, all pictures, thankfully no lives. Strangely, the cattle got back and were clustered around in a herd around an enormous oak tree, and they were able to get them back. Of course, the fence had burned, so that has to be rebuilt. And they said to one another, we realize at that moment our faith would either kick into action or we would move far away from the God we had loved and served. They chose the former. They determined they would rebuild. They're in the process right now. Living with a brother, putting house and home back together, having lost it all. And the Lord taught me through my shameful response, He'll win this battle. Trust Him. Trust me. Trust God. Just to rest upon His promises. Just to know. Thus saith the Lord. Trust God.
More than just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio. Spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can listen to that over and over. Because we have to learn to trust God. Yeah. Quickly, immediately learn to trust Him. Anything come our way, give it to Him first. Yeah. Let Him get the first fruit of it. And He'll take care from there. And if we're listening, He'll lead and guide us. He'll tell us which way to go. Yeah. I've been there and done that. What felt like an emergency. It felt like, what am I going to do? But I had to learn, you're not going to do nothing because you can't. There's nothing you can do. What you can do is rely on God. Trust Him. have faith. Tell him about it. I've been in situations where I talk to him, let's say 10 o'clock about it. At 5 minutes after 10, I was right back talking to him again. 15 after, I was right back talking to him again because I had to keep giving it to him because my flesh wanted to keep taking it. I give it back to him and keep my mind on him so I remember scriptures. And he kept me in perfect peace. Yeah, kept me in perfect peace. And let whatever he wanted to do with the situation, he did it and got it under control. And it worked together for my good. And I got favor out of the situation because I didn't put my hand in it. The people appreciated me staying back and letting them do what they had to do, use it to bring it to a place where it needed to be. Yeah, for me. And I'm grateful unto him this morning. Listen, if you have a testimony this morning, or you may just have some things you want to say, feel free to press that number one and come in. And I want to apologize yesterday for all the phone calls that I didn't get. And I didn't get to call you back. My phone is broke. I can't hear it ring. So every now and then I have to take a look at the call log to see who have called me so I can call them back. So I don't want you to think that I was ignoring you or not wanting to talk yesterday. I was good. But I just had to get out to the Apple store to get a new phone. If I go out there, I'm getting one. But it's so much trouble going out there for me. And then when I get there, finding a parking spot. Today, Nikki followed me out there and everything. I was able to go in, went in on day, but night time. My goodness, Father. So maybe the weekend I can get out there tomorrow and I have this fixed. My old boss, he called me. I just happened to go in there and look at the call log. My son called me. Rose Brown called me. My niece was calling me. I see you, Sister Stena. And different ones called me on yesterday. My brother had called me. And different people, you know, and I just could not get back to everybody. But today I'm working on some things. And Nick and I typed in the wrong thing, but that information gave me, it says it's a fraud. It says it's fraudulent. So today I'll check some things out and have a couple more people to check it out to bear witness with me. And we're going to see if it's fake. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right, area code 407-484. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, everyone. I just want you to know I did not push the number one. We're driving, and my phone is on mute. And it pushed number one, so I said, I guess I'm going to talk.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, Sierra, stop laughing. Stop laughing, Sierra. You know it'll do it. It'll do it, buddy. It will do it. If it's for you to talk, it'll do it on its own.
So I'll just say this. That message that you just played, that's me. You know, it's me to a T. I will sit and, you know, so you read the scriptures, you listen to the word of God, and, you know, when things come up, you start doubting. You start questioning. You talk to God, and when it don't happen fast enough for you, then, you know, you try to either fix it yourself or go to someone else instead of waiting, and I'm guilty of that. And I've had to learn how to hear God, how to wait on God, and just be reminded of the things, the promises that he has made to me, and know that he is a God who will not lie, a God who is trustworthy, a God who is faithful, and a God who is loving, a God who is kind, and a God who has more than enough. And I've had to learn to just wait and trust and believe that when he says he will do things, and I've seen it, I'm slowly seeing it happen because of the patience that I'm exercising. So, you know, to anyone that's listening, if you have doubts and you're one of the fixers, because we can let our minds, we can do that self-talk and tell ourselves, you know, oh, yeah, you can do this. So God isn't moving fast enough, so you need to find another way. You know, and that self-talk will talk you right out of your blessing. So, you know, my encouragement is be patient and just wait on God. And, you know, the time that you're waiting, it may seem long, but I'll say this. We sow seeds and we expect it to grow right away. Farmers are probably the most patient people there is in this world, because they sow a seed and they never know if it's going to come up. But they trust that it's going to produce a crop that they can take to the market and make money with. A bamboo plant, when you sow it, if you sow a seed, a bamboo seed, it can take up to 3 years before it sprouts. Can you tell how patient you have to be with that? But when that seed sprouts, it can grow 2 inches every hour. So if we will just let God work on us and understand that we sow, we have to wait, we have to work, and then we will reap. And once that happens, then we're in the will of God, and we're letting God do what he says he will do. So I just wanted to share that this morning, even though, you know, I didn't intend to press the button. I did it. You know, I guess I just needed to say this because maybe someone out there needs to hear this morning. You know, but I've just saying, I've been guilty. I've been very guilty of not waiting and you know, being impatient about things when I've heard the Lord clearly speak to me and tell me to do certain things and you know, move in certain ways or just wait to do something. But when, you know, when we get impatient, we walk out of our blessings. And
and I'm just grateful for what he has done in our lives.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. But I thank you so much, Pastor David. God bless you this morning. And that's my buddy. That's Sion's husband. And I'm grateful unto the Lord for you calling in this morning and sharing that with us. And it does. Many times, it take a while for the seed to give a harvest. Yeah.
Yep.
I thank God for that. I thank God for this also, that we got to trust him. I heard him say the same thing. We give it to the Lord. Take it back. Sometimes
yep.
We give it to the Lord, we don't wait to hear back, we go to somebody else. Well, now I'm going to call Pastor Brown. Well, I'm going to call Pastor John. Well, I'm going to ask this one what they think. No. Trust God. Wait on him. I had to learn this too. I pray at 10 o'clock, I let it go at 10. Let it completely go because I gave it to the Lord. I know he heard me. If his eyes are ever fixed, he's beholding the evil and the good. His ears are not deaf that, you know, he don't hear. His arms are not too short to reach down and fix in a situation. He heard me. I just need to trust. If he don't bring it to pass, it won't work together for my good. At that time, it don't mean that in a few more minutes, a few more days, it won't work. But at this particular time, it won't work for your good. I'm only doing what's going to work for your good, because you'll never be able to call me a liar. So we have to wait on him. Anybody heard patience is a virtue? It really is. And we have to learn to wait on God. He's going to come and see about us. He won't leave us nor forsake us. He's going to be with us until the very end. But we must trust God. Yeah, we got to trust him. Hallelujah. And it's already all right. Because the way things look, many days, if I paid attention to the way it looked and not trust God, I'll be in the dump. I'll be in the mental institution somewhere saying, "Ooh, I see the birds," or whatever I would be doing. But I learned over the years not to look at the situation, trust God all the way through it. Yeah, I've been in a position, I had $10, I wanted something, and I had a bill for $200, and I'm like, well, the 20 won't help it. I want this right here. Lord, I'm going to buy this right here, and I trust you to bless me to pay the $200 bill. And he come right in. I let it go. Many days from now, I have sat in the garage and told him, Lord, I need you to go ahead and give me the truck money. See, because I'm believing, I'm trusting, I'm knowing, I'm assured. He loved me. He's going to take care of me. Lord, I need to get my truck cleaned out. I need you to move on that $40, Lord. I'm going to get my tires, armor all and everything, because I don't have it. I need you to move on that, Lord. Yeah. You move. An unexpected check comes from Wells Fargo. They say I had put in for one of these lawsuits where a bunch of people were suing them, and I was in the number. And they sent me a check for $37. That was one of them unexpected checks that I had to do something with that I prayed and asked him to give me the money to do it with. Trust me. He's real. He's real. I promise you he woke us up this morning. We didn't wake ourselves up.
Yep.
If he can do that, how much more can he do? All we doing is sitting back, wait, you know, taking a ride and patiently waiting on the validation. He's coming. Never a day late, never a dollar short. Always on time.
Yeah.
But we got to get there. We got to get there. And it's all right. I know y'all used to be saying my buddy or buddy, but that's Pastor David Jackson, see a husband, and for the wisdom, you heard me call him rough, rugged, and real. we talk the big talk sometimes, so yeah, and we know things about a true man of God, we know things about a real man, and it's all right today, but you can tell in his voice, yeah, he's straight, and he loves his wife, he loves his why? All right now. Yeah. And, it's just a beautiful relationship. It's a beautiful relationship. They have a beautiful home, that house on the hill, down named Fluffy over there in Costa. That's Dorothy Goodman's son-in-law right there. Boy, that Dorothy Goodman loved that son-in-law like I loved mine. Yeah. Sister Barbara, he's a good son-in-law. This and that. Always got good to say about her son-in-law. That's when you know your daughter got a good husband. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so it's all right today in Jesus' name. Is there anyone else? Pastor David, I'm going to mute your mic a few minutes unless you have something else you want to share.
No, I'll just then I wish everybody a blessed day and a blessed weekend, and I'll just tell them to stay in the mindset of a farmer. You know, just like God had to prepare, most farmers prepare the soil, you know, before they sow a seed, God's got to prepare us, and we just got to stay in that mindset, so just stay blessed.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's my buddy right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, if there's anyone else, we have time. Press that number one and come in. Brother Lewis said, hey, Pastor David.
Yep. Oh. Hey, good morning.
All right. Okay, one more request right quick. As a matter of fact, this morning, I'm going to dedicate this one to Sion and my buddy today. And God is faithful to us. And there's nothing he won't do for us. And we're just in the waiting mood. I thank God that you got that thing right. I thank God that only he could give that to you, buddy. Only he could give that to you because of what he's doing. Ooh-wee. Let me go to one request. And I'm going to dedicate it to you and Sion. Ooh-wee.
Yeah, Jesus, you're my everything, yeah. My everything is you, Lord. Yeah,
Lord, you are
Lord, you're my everything.
I call you God.
Hallelujah. I got to read this one right quick. Wait a minute. Wait, she gave it to me. Okay, First Thessalonians, verse 5 and chapter 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That is beautiful to me. In everything, I'm giving him thanks and praise and worship and honor and in the good and the bad. I got to give it to him. Because no matter the circumstances, the situation, what it looks like, what it feels like, I'm going to thank him because guess what? It's yet going to work for my good. He's going to fix it for me. All I got to do is wait patiently on him. He's coming. Yeah. I just got to wait on him. Though it tarry, I'm waiting for it. Yeah. We can learn some things from Job. I can learn some things from Apostle Paul. But I have to get in the word. And I have to taste the word and see even that the word of God is good. And it's working for me. That word will sanctify you wholly. I'm telling you, that word have power. It was Apostle Paul that taught me this. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Barbara, it's got the power. It had the power to save us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But when we get quiet time and get in that word, oh, it does something for me. Oh, it does great things for me. It caused my life to be so much better. I'm at so much peace. The time I look at people and I'm like, woo, what's going on? Because of this, I don't have all of that. Another thing, I try not to bite off, excuse me, more than I can chew. And in the event that I do, I give it to the Lord. Lord, I done got too much. I was getting this much. Lord, would you take care of the excess? And he does it. He does it. When I tell you there's nothing he won't do for us, it's not a figure of speech. It's not just me talking. It is the absolute truth over and over and over and over and over and over again and again and again and again. It is the truth. What he does is what he can do for you. But we must learn to trust him, walk in him, learn to wait on him. Oh, yeah. I see y'all and buddies. Hey, all I can say on the way, that's all. Hey, glory. Hey, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you. Hallelujah. Your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard. Thank you. He's got in store for you. That's all I'm going to tell you this morning. And we just thank him today for he's on your side. Hallelujah. We give him glory. Listen, I want to do the quick roll call this morning. Brother Anthony, I'm coming right at you. Right after this, I'm coming. Good morning to you, Sister Jerry, and to Sion and Buddy this morning, and to you, Brother Anthony, and to Sister Dorothy Goodman. I see you, reader. God bless you this morning. And to my Nikki, good morning. God bless you. And to Sister Simone, good morning. God bless you. Sister Anne, good morning. God bless. Brother Jermaine in the house. Good morning, Brother Jermaine. And God bless you. And I saw Sister Stella down there earlier. Good morning. God bless you. God bless you, Sister Mary Ann. Sister Rose Brown was here earlier. And Sister Melanie Rose, Sister Laura, Sister Liz, Sister Lachelle, Sister Andrea's Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Angela Foote, and Sister Annalie Foote, and a good morning to you, Sister Kim Hopps, and Mike had me laughing. Jared, he had me laughing because I said we was on hook and lane or something I said, and that tickled him.
Good morning to you, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, and Sister Yvonne, and our very own Apostle Claudia Boatwright. Good morning to you, sisters. God bless you this morning. And good morning to you, Brother Lewis, holding that chat room down, the main man over there, and Brother Jermaine, and Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Mike Hopps, Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton, and Brother Cal, Brother Justin Gilmore, Brother Frank, and Brother Marquez Griffin. Good morning to you. God bless you. Thank God for you today. And we're going to trust God and be blessed. That's what I know. We are going to trust God and be blessed. We're going to let things go and let God work it out for us. Oh, yeah, he's a problem solver. Heart fixer, mind regulator on our side. The list is endless of the good things he has for us. Hallelujah. All right, Brother Anthony, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Bless, hella favor. Good morning to you, Mr. Barber. First of all, I want to give God thanks for waking me up this morning. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Keeping my right mind. Allowing me to see another day I've never seen before. Thank you for the activity of my limbs. And thank you for who he is to me, what he's doing in my life, where he brought me from, where he's taking me yet. And thank God for this ministry, this show, and coming together for fellowship this morning. And you did a roll call. Good morning to everybody. And Brother Lewis, Brother Frank, Sister Fionn, Sister Samoa, Sister Rita, Sister Dot. Roll around. Good morning. I say Sister Fionn and her husband. Good morning, y'all. Good morning to Mike Hopps. Kim Hopps. Good morning to you. This morning. Good morning to Pastor Fluker. Good morning to you. I'll say good morning to Mother Anna Lee Foot and Angela Lee Foot. Good morning, y'all. Good morning, Brother D, Brother Jermaine. Brother Hamilton, Sister Alexis, Brother Griffin, good morning to you this morning. That's all I can think of this morning. But, thank God to keep spiritual food on the days we getting fed, you know, and just something to encourage us to keep our mind on God, you know, just throughout the week. You know, going through life situations and, you know, something just to keep us focused on him and his good word and, you know, to encourage us as believers to encourage others. So I just thank God for what he's doing. And my testimony, I just thank God for this man, you know, another day where he's going to me, you know, healing me, he has done in my body and
your phone breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
We hear you.
Yeah, I just ask God just to give me an obedient spirit, you know, that I will do his commitment, you know, that my walk with him will line up with his word in it, you know. God's at his part that he had for me, and he would show me what he called me to do, and the call of no more life, and he was me as far as ministry. So I just thank you. Blessed day, best rest of the week, and best weekend. Y'all keep me in y'all prayers, and I keep y'all in minds. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Brother Anthony. We thank God today for this week ending and thank him today for his word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light our path. We just glorify him because he's able. And when I tell you he know what he's doing, he knows what he's doing. We don't know what he's doing, and he don't have to tell us our business. It's our business and our job to trust him, have faith, and keep moving in him. Yeah, he's a way maker, heart fixer, mind regulator. Hallelujah. Open doors. We didn't even know a door was there, but the door come open. Hallelujah. And what we need comes through the door for us. Some things we have to go get, things God will bring to us. And in this hour, for many of us, he's bringing some things our way. And so we thankful unto him. Okay, Brother Lewis, thank you so much. I'll go over to Publix and take a look today, because I'm going to look at turkeys. Sister Jerry said when Dixie had them on sale. So I'm going over there and take a look as well. And the biggest ones, those are the ones I want, because those are the ones I want to give away. And I'm just happy. I'm happy. I'm pleased. I'm satisfied. God is on the side doing great things for us, not just for me, but for us. And I speak his blessings, miracles upon us all. And I speak that he will open every door that we need open unto us. Oh, I feel the spirit of the Lord moving. I see those of us that need finances, God will move quickly in a mighty way right quick in the name of Jesus. Because he don't have to tell me, hey, Barbara, I'm about to give you $200. He don't have to say it. I'm about to give you $1,000. All he do is just show up that here it comes. Yesterday, needed a few dollars, and when I looked up, I had $75, and some things I didn't even know was coming through came through, and he took care of it. He's that kind of God. All I can do is tell him thank you. Yeah, it's okay that they're not butterball, but they're big turkeys. That's all we need. And mama, dad, or whoever the cook is, know how to brine them, season them up, bake them off, and wonderful golden brown. Yeah. Now, I don't know if those Jerry was talking about a butterball turkeys or not, but I just need some big turkeys that feed some families, and it will be all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're thankful again and again unto him this morning. He's got all power, and he's on our side today. His word says, if he be for us, he's more than the whole world against us. And we believe that because your people are of this special royal priesthood. Hey, glory to him. And so we thank him today. And listen, is there anyone? All right, if not, we'll get out early today. I will. All right. If no one, pray out this morning, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. I mean, Monday morning. Eastern Standard Time. I'm used to coming every day, but Monday morning we'll be back if the Lord says the same, and be a blessing. Yeah, be a blessing. Nikki has been a blessing to me, and she's going to have a cleaner to come over and clean for me. Isn't that wonderful? So I'm excited about that good cleaner, because I don't have to scrub and carry on, because I have to whatever. But anyway, God is faithful to his people. That's what I can say. So, all right, we're going to pray out. And again, we pray that Lord bring us back Monday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, in Jesus' name. And Brother Anthony, I want to say this to you. Keep up the good work. Just keep up the good work. God is working some things out for you. Just keep up the good work. Keep your mind on. Keep going. Yeah, he's going to take care of it all, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for your move today, Father. For without you, we can do nothing. Thank you for your word, for your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. We thank you for having your way, for doing what it is you want to do. Many may not understand. They may want it the way that they want it. But God, you move the way that you move. And we thank you for your move. Because your move will cause us to say amen. Ah, yeah. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you. As we depart this weekend, Father, bless our going out. Bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And again this morning, Father, those that stand in the need of finances, Lord, we ask that you would move quickly in the name of Jesus. But Lord, money answers all things. We don't love it, but Father, we need it to pay bills. We need it to open more doors. We need it to bless someone else. So Lord, if you move financially for us, we'll even have seeds to plant unto you, that your gospel can go further in the name of Jesus. Thank you. We thank you. I thank you for those who give. Lord, I thank you. I give you glory. I give you the honor and the praise. And Lord, I know you're most to them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you this morning. Amen. And glory to his majesty. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus this weekend and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings upon you today, November the 19th, this weekend, 2021, in Jesus' name. So I'm going to the last song of the morning, and after this song, I won't be coming back. But we pray that we're here on Monday. Have a blessed weekend. shines the light